Right. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings chapter number 3. 1 Kings chapter number 3. I'm not sure if the seats have moved back or if it's just nobody's on the front row, but there's this huge gulf. I don't know what happened. Did y'all design it that way? I did put deodorant on. It's okay. All right. I'm going to move down here because, all right, is that better? You can still see me, right? Okay, good. Hey, it is great to be here. We love West Branch. It's hard to believe this is our sixth summer. And so I was thinking through today, I think if I'm figuring up correctly, this is 22 years ago, I started on camp staff and been at many different camps, but honestly, I think my family and I live, if I can put it that way, for being at West Branch in the summer. We absolutely love it. It really has become one of our heartbeats. If you can, I don't know, is that the right thing to say? The Lord says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And this is really a special place to us, the ranch and West Branch, and excited for what the Lord has for us this summer. All right, so if you have your Bibles, you should be in 1 Kings chapter number 3. 1 Kings chapter number 3. And now that you're all settled and all the guys have their legs all crossed and their Bibles and notes all spread out, go ahead and stand, all right? 1 Kings chapter number 3. And let's start reading in verse number 16. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king, and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass a third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together, there was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child into, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman in whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my lord, give her the living child, and no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her, that's the first woman, the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And this is a verse that I've never really paid attention before. Notice what it says. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Tonight, on this subject, how to divide a baby. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. And I thank you for the privilege we have to open the Word of God. Now, Lord, I'm burdened about this passage, but my burden will profit nothing. And I ask, Lord, that you would give me your burden. I'm not asking that you bless my words, but yours. And may this truth tonight from this passage be a help to us, not just this summer, but for the rest of our lives. And we'll thank you for it. And I ask this, and in through the name and the blood of my Jesus, amen. You may be seated. How to divide a baby? I mean, hey, listen, this is one of those stories that you read and you just think, good night. I mean, maybe nobody else asked this question, but I ask questions like this. How was Solomon going to chop the baby in half? Was he going to do it long ways or side to side? You know, was head to toe? I don't know. And I kind of think about these things. But then, in the whole reality of the matter, can you imagine what everyone else in the king's palace are thinking? Maybe his counselors, I mean, every king has them, his counselors and his wise men, they're standing by. And Solomon, he's listening to all of this take place. He's listening to these two women tell their story. And then Solomon says, "Bring me a sword." And I think maybe his counselor is going, "Ooh, this is a new one. Let's see what happens here." They bring him a sword, and then it seems like, I don't know, he specifically asks for the sword. So in my mind, I see the picture of the wise king holding a sword in one hand, holding the baby in the other, and maybe he's getting ready to slay it. And I think all of his counselors are going, "Didn't see that coming. Uh-oh. We need some liability insurance, quick." I don't know. But you have to understand, this has never been done before. This is brand new. And I've always heard this story maybe portrayed as the fact of, "Oh, the wise King Solomon, he chose to divide the baby, didn't need to divide the baby. It revealed everything that was needed, and Solomon, he did that because he was wise." Well, you have to understand, at the very end of this entire passage, something is said of Solomon. It says that everyone knew about Solomon's wisdom. They knew that it had come from God, and they knew that Solomon had the mind of God. I mean, it gives a testimony of everyone knowing the story. Can you imagine how it hits the papers the next morning? "King almost kills baby in palace." I don't know, but I do question this. What was he thinking, right? Well, you and I understand that Solomon did all of this because of the wisdom that God had given him. This is not just Solomon saying, "I know how to handle the situation. I'm going to take care of this. Nobody else knows, but I know I can do it this way." No, this is from God. You understand the story of Solomon. God comes to Solomon. He tells Solomon, he says, "Solomon, I'll give you anything you want. Anything. All you have to do is ask." And Solomon asks for that one thing. He asks for wisdom. And then God grants it to him, plus everything else that Solomon could have asked for. And God makes it very clear that wisdom from God is the principal thing to seek. It is the most important. If you were to boil everything down, we need wisdom, right? You need wisdom for you. You need wisdom for the people you deal with. You need wisdom for what's next in life. You need wisdom for, well, some of you need wisdom on how to dress. I don't know. You say, "Seriously?" No. Wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is not just knowing the mind of the Lord. It's not just getting the heart of God. But wisdom is then taking the truth of God and applying it to our hearts and lives. Know this, Solomon was very wise. He had great wisdom. We know that. But there are some things in Solomon's life that he did, and I think, "You're an idiot. What happened to wisdom?" Right? I mean, did Solomon have how many wives? A lot. More than one. And then he had a whole lot of concubines that you wouldn't even call his wives. And I think, Solomon, okay, this is not wise. Okay, so put it this way. Did Solomon have wisdom? Yes. Of course he did. Did he always use that wisdom the way God intended it to be used? No. So was he wise? Yes. Did he use the wisdom he had? Not all the time. You see, many times we act based on our thinking, not on God's truth. And that's the difference between having God's wisdom and using God's wisdom. When you come into this passage astounds me. Because Solomon, he acts on three different ways. He uses three different truths that we must also apply when we are making decisions. Many times we can get up in the morning, we can say, all right, let's see, what am I going to wear this morning? How about this? Part of wisdom is understanding, as we heard today, what's appropriate for when, right? Or does it even look right? Maybe it doesn't match. My grandfather was an assistant pastor of a very large church in Charlotte, North Carolina. And the church was large enough that they had to have many, many different assistants. One of the assistants was completely blind. He would come in and they would all sit on the platform, and my grandfather would sit next to him and say, hey, you've been having a fight with your wife? No, why? Because your socks don't match. Well, his socks did match, but they were messing with him. And he'd be sitting there on the pulpit trying to pull his pant legs down far enough so no one in the, you know, couple thousand people would see that his socks didn't match. And, of course, he's blind. He can't tell. But some people, you wonder, don't you? And did you know it's even a common thing for people not to match socks today? Where do you even get that? How about this? Many times, culture wants to dictate what we do. People want to dictate what we do, the decisions we make. But culture, people, and problems must never dictate what we do. Instead, the wisdom of God must be what we follow. When you open up Solomon here, you have two women. Two women who the Bible calls harlots. They have a lifestyle that would not be pleasing to God. These two women live under one roof, not the wisest thing to begin with. But both of them, they are harlots. They both have children. They both give birth in the same house, one after the other. And they make it very clear, no one knows whose baby this is. They say no one else was in the house. It was just me, my baby, this woman, and her baby. That's it. No one's there. You know, at the very moment that this story is beginning to be told, Solomon could have pronounced judgment, could he? Couldn't he have given his wisdom? He could have said, well, you know what? I think this baby looks like you. And I don't think babies look like anybody. You know what I'm saying. But you come to this passage, Solomon's wise, right? Solomon has wisdom from God, right? Could he have said, well, I think that this one belongs to you? Could he have done that at the beginning? Maybe. Well, this is what we should do because of this, 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 and this. Many times, well, this is happening. Well, I'm just going to do this. This is happening. Okay, I'm going to handle it this way. Oh, this.